What's that?
Are you trying to figure out what you can discuss that will lead you to have the last word?
I'm not having the last word. Why do you think I'm having the last word?
Because Brad's not here. And you're running up and down the football field on both ends. I'm going to have the last word. I'm having the last word here. And I'm going to have the last word on this end. And I'm going to have the last word on this end. And I'm going to have the last word on this end. And just run up and down all over the place. Last word.
Running up and down the football field on both ends.
Trying to score on both ends, yeah.
Is that something you made up?
Yeah. Just came now? Right out of my socks. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, we're on the air. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand. It's all right.
Can you really listen anytime you want?
Yes. Because you guys have like a gazillion shows.
Yeah, we do have a gazillion shows.
So you could listen all the time.
We've got like over 800 shows.
On average, I bet people don't have enough time to listen to all your shows.
You can listen anytime at all, radio on demand, it's all right.
All right, well, let's just jump right into the show.
All right.
You're listening to the Two Blind Squirrels, and I'm Jazzy Chaz, and I'm here with the beautiful, lovely, attractive, highly intelligent, and kind of silly looking right now. I got to get a picture of that. That's got to go up on the website.
Cause I'm afraid to know what I really look like.
It's fun looking. It's cool.
Okay.
I've never seen your face do that.
Camera's on the dining table.
Okay. It's not something I expect to hear a lot, but okay. And Christmas trees in the fall comparison. That's what I have written here. So what are we going to talk about there?
Well, I thought you wanted to talk about the first thing first.
Oh, the do you like preachers who yell?
Well, that's what you asked me earlier. You asked me if we wanted to.
Yeah.
So, and then okay. I was going to answer you, and you said, no, save it before the show.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. So I'm asking you now, do you like preachers who yell?
No.
Do they influence you in any way?
No.
Do they, do you remember what they've said?
No. I can see flying arms, sweat, and the Bible slamming down on the podium.
That's it. That's what you remember?
That's it, yeah.
This is the whole thing.
I have visions
of that.
Of that, but I don't have I don't have audible.
No meat.
No meat, no messages. I don't. Any more questions?
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Elaborate on your...
No, well, you know, the reason I don't, you know, not to be, you know, I'll open up the, you know, closet and let a skeleton fall out, but, you know, go all Jason and the Argonauts or anything, but I don't like screaming preachers because they remind me of my verbally abusive grandfather. So,
yeah.
If somebody starts yelling at me, I just naturally tune them out. Mm-hmm. So
it's just it's the act of yelling in general.
Oh yeah, yeah. Huh. So it's just automatically just gone.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't like it either. I don't. And I don't know if it's just a. If it may be that same sort of tension.
Yeah.
You know, sort of thing. It's like ooh.
Yeah, somebody you're yelling. Screaming. Yeah, you're screaming at me.
You're activating my flight or fight sort of thing. Oh,
yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Why do I feel like I need to get out of here?
Yeah. I started looking at the exits. Mm-hmm. Wait, okay, is there one over there? What does that mean? Is he flying out of a fit? What is he doing?
Yeah.
You know?
I get kind of depressed.
Yeah.
I get kind of low in my seat. And
yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter what he's talking about.
Oh, I can't remember what they say. As soon as the volume goes up, I just shut it off. My ears just shut down. I can't hear.
I remember one day we're sitting in church, and
excuse me,
and you and I.
Okay.
And there's this guest speaker, and I see you reach over and you get like a pencil, you know, or whatever, a pen out of the pew, back of the pew.
Oh yeah.
And you're doing something. You're writing something. And
yeah, well, yeah, because I'd grab the
program.
I grabbed the offering envelope and I grabbed the hymnal.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you take notes, you know, and you're a good listener and all that kind of stuff like that. So I'm thinking, well, okay, she's taking notes, and so I'm trying to pay attention to this guy, you know, and I'm not trying to look at what you're writing. So I'm trying to give you the privacy to writing whatever you're writing, right? Maybe you've got some.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying something.
He's very excited. He was very excited.
He was very excited. And so finally, though, I can't take it anymore. I got to reach. You've been writing for quite some time, and I'm like, I've got to.
What
look
can
up.
She possibly be writing?
She's really. This guy's really. This guy's good. I mean, she's really getting a lot out of this sermon.
I'm getting nothing.
And I look over, and yeah, you're like doodling.
I was.
You're so like 7 years old, like doodling.
I was, and I'll tell you the truth, I haven't doodled in church since I was in fifth grade.
Really?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, because in fifth grade I was in a Baptist church with a screaming hellfire and damnation preacher, and that was it. That was the last of church for me.
Right.
I mean, sixth grade I said, I hate this place. I don't want to come back. I don't like it here.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't want to go. And so I didn't have to go. So there's Joe. Just said, no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that day I was like, I heard that guy get all excited. Who do you say I am? And he just got all. And all of a sudden, man, I was in fifth grade. I was sitting in that pew, and I was little, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Lead your father's country." You know,
yeah.
Just it was bad.
Now here's what I want to know. Okay, now I know the answer. I know the answer. The we have to have enough restraint to, you know, we won't value the relationship enough that we just sit there and patiently wait for him to be done, and then,
yeah,
and then we go out with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I there seriously have been times where I just want to stand up.
Oh yeah,
I just want to stand up and leave. I'm done.
I'm done after worship. I'm like finished. I'm like yeah.
You know, and. It hasn't gotten bad enough to where I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'll be on a parking lot.
No, we did that one time. Remember?
Where did we do that?
I think there was like a guest speaker, and I can't remember what he was. I mean, he didn't get very far in what he had to say before I turned to you and said, I'm going to get up first, and I'm going to go to the bathroom. And then I took Max. I'm going to make it look like I'm taking Max to the bathroom, and I'll wait for you downstairs. Yeah. Do you remember that? And we were on the same. We hadn't even said anything to each other. It was like, it was just, we just knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to stay here.
But that was up in the balcony, and we were kind of
inconspicuous.
Yeah. You go down, you know, yeah. Make your way down and all that kind of stuff like that. And nobody's really, but I'm talking about when we're sitting up front.
Oh, yeah. We're on the seventh row. Great. Yeah. We're stuck here.
Yeah. Because, you know, the respectful thing to do is just to hang and wait and all that kind of stuff like that.
Well, but I could go to the bathroom first.
Yeah.
Wait a few minutes, and then you get up and go.
Yeah, well, we have those pagers with us, too. We could always, you know, I'm being paged. Over-accentuate
we would act out the, I'm being paged.
You're not wearing a pager. Yes, I am.
Hey, maybe we can that would be to have fake pagers.
Fake pagers.
But Charlie, your son's 17 years old.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nursery's calling.
Yeah, what's that? I'm coming. So I don't know.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're confessing.
Yeah, but that's I went to when we first moved here. I went to a church where I was invited by a friend, and he was the preacher. And it was kind of a pep rally, you know. It was the tippy, you know, preaching on the tippy toes and
kind of
yelling and all that. Well, that's,
I know, that's just kidding.
Kind of yelling and all that kind of stuff like that. And I was like, I asked him about that later, and I said,
He asked the style you how church
that,
was going.
Yeah, and I said, well, you know what? That's not the style that I can't remember how I said it, but I was real one of those, like,
Yeah,
that style doesn't attract me, you know, sort of thing. And he says he said that he does that in his church because the people that typically show have hard lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've just lived hard lives, and they need a they look forward to like sort of a pep rally, you know, of what it's going to be like when they get to go home and you know it'll be good in heaven and the whole thing. And he just does he kind of does the pep rally. I thought that was interesting. I was like,
Well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't say he does it all the time. He just said that for that particular one, it's when he and that's what he fell out to preach, you know. Yeah. But but no,
that's great if it works for people. I mean, you asked me if I liked
preachers who yell,
and it does not work for me.
Which is interesting. I just think I just find it
interesting. But I just wanted to be honest as to why it does not work for me. It's not just because I don't like it. It's I got a reason.
Yeah, you have a direct correlation, which is interesting. Yeah. So. See, the it's for me, I think, the preacher that I listened to when I was a kid, Brother David, you know, I liked the way he was a very soft-spoken man. You know, he was very reasonable as far as when he would preach a sermon, there was he would make everything connect. You know, he was very he could illustrate things verbally and all these types of things. So I liked to listen to him, but he didn't get up there and belt it out.
No, we didn't need to.
So for me, the belting it, the preacher that belted out is really sort of the stereotypical sort of big top preacher, you know, and it just doesn't do it for me.
So. Yeah, my friend read a quote the other day. I hate doing this when I don't really have all the names, but somebody said once a preacher who has to get up there and yell and slam his Bible is really one who hasn't spent enough time studying his word because he has to make up for his lack of study in his theatrics. And I thought that was interesting because he's distracting everyone from his lack of distracting everyone from their from his so that they wouldn't notice his lack of study or something like that. So anyways, I probably just repeated myself, but
yeah.
Anywho, thought that was interesting.
Well, talking about lack of study.
Yes.
Or studying in general.
Yes.
You had an experience here recently.
This morning. Okay, this is so cool. Okay. do we have enough time?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so I have changed curriculums. Homeschool curriculums.
Oh, homeschool curriculum.
And with Max. And we just started yesterday. And yesterday was great, but that would make the show extra long. So I'm just going to talk about this morning. This morning was our second day. We're using the Sunlight curriculum. And I've got the... It doesn't matter. We're starting with history. And in order to talk about the history of the world, you must start with the beginning. And the beginning is... In the beginning, God created the world. And so we start with the study of the Bible. And... he, in his little Jesus Loved Me's Bible, he read about the creation period. And he got through that beautifully, and we're supposed to discuss it a little bit. And he couldn't, tomorrow we discuss Adam and Eve, but he couldn't wait till tomorrow. He saw a picture of Adam and Eve, and he said, he just, love his mind. He said, how come God put the tree in the garden if he didn't want him to touch it?
I thought that was a genius question.
It was genius because I'm like, okay, you're 7.
Yeah.
And you have
almost already, 8.
He is, shut up. Don't talk to me like that. On the air. Right there in front of everybody. I can't believe you said those words to me. So he's 7. Going on 8.
7 going on 20.
Oh my gosh. So he asked this question, right? And I was like, dude, you just don't know. I said, everybody asked that question. And I said, I have thought that same thing over and over again. Why would God put a tree in the garden and then tell us not to touch it? But I said, you know, I think the tree means something else. And this is about that time where, you know, I don't even know why I remember it right now, but I guess because it was so awesome. But you know those moments where the Holy Spirit just takes your tongue and he takes your brain and he says, let me just run with this, and yeah. you just sit right there?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what this morning was all about. And so he, so I learned this morning, along with Max, that to look at the tree as not so much that it was a tree, but it was a choice. And I asked Max, I said, okay, Max, if you, do you want me to make you love me, or do you want to have the choice to love me? And he says, I want to have the choice. I said, well, do you want to make me love you, or do you want me to choose to love you and love you? And he said, I want you to choose to love me and love me. And I said, okay, but in order to have a choice, you have to have the opposite. You have to have opposites. I said, you can't have yes without no. You can't have light without dark. I said, you can't have love without not love. Okay, you can't love. You got to have not to choose not to love so that you can love. And he says, okay. And I said, well, that tree, I said, he put that in the middle of the garden. I said, he showed them the entire garden, and he says, you can love me, or, pointing at the tree, you can not love me.
Yeah.
And he got it.
Okay.
So he says, and he says, okay, he says, well, what if, he says, well, if I was Adam and I was there in the garden with God and God told me not to eat of that tree, I wouldn't eat of that tree. And I said, oh, you wouldn't?
Really?
And he said, no. And I said, okay. And now we've got our Christmas tree up, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's already got Christmas presents underneath it. And I said, okay, Max, I said, I tell you what. See the Christmas tree? See all the presents? You can have all the toys in the world, but you cannot have the ones under that tree. Don't go near that tree or the presents underneath it.
Yeah.
But you can have all the other presents in the world. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, man, I am so curious as to what's under that tree. And I thought that was really interesting. I said, well, that curiosity is the same thing. This is what happened to Adam and Eve.
Uh-huh.
I said, that's why, you know, they fell. And he says, well, how come? He says, it's Eve's fault. He says, that snake tricked her. And now he says, it's not my fault. It's their fault. You know?
Sure.
And I said,
pass
no, it's not.
Pass the blame.
It was the woman.
That's right.
So I said, yeah, but what they have in them is what you're feeling in you right now. We all have it. It's part of having the choice. And I said, what you have for those presents under the tree is the same thing that they had for that tree in the middle of the garden. And so he got it. And I just thought after it was over, I thought, oh my gosh, we just compared the tree of knowledge to the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
It's like, that was brilliant.
It was such a brilliant.
I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. This is awesome. That so rocks. We're done for today. That was it. But that was really like the first 20 minutes of our school day. So we had to keep going.
Well, the best part, though, I think, is that, I mean, that analogy, that'll stick with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, you know.
He couldn't handle it after that.
Yeah, right now his whole world is toys. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, he's 8, so.
But he didn't, his mind, I mean, he got it because he's like, his mind, I can't wait to, you know, I'm going to let his brain chew on that for just a little bit. But, you know, just that automatic reaction, you know.
Sure.
You can have everything. I mean, that's what God did. You can have everything that I created, everything, except this just one thing right here.
Right this.
And where does our focus go? To that one thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one thing. We have all these other blessings to enjoy.
Dad says I shouldn't touch his trophy, but it's so pretty. Look at it. I'll just touch it a little bit.
Yeah.
Oops, I broke it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to pick it up.
Yeah. Oops,
I just want to see how heavy it is.
Yeah.
Crash bang. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. I thought that was cool. Anybody out there thinks that's brilliant, you're more than free to use it on your own kids.
Yeah, well, there you go. And if you have any other interesting stories like that, please send them in to comments at twoblindsquirrels.com, and we'll read them on the air.
Good night, all.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the Creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity." This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.